Let us pray. Great God on high, who formed the earth and the stars of your word, you have spoken in the past, and your people have been guided through all kinds of wildernesses and supported in all kinds of trials and exiles. Speak to us today in the midst of our own peculiar confusions. Speak to us through your law and give us a sense of order and direction. Speak to us through your gospel, transforming us by your grace. Renew us in hope, for yours is the future even more than the past. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Our New Testament text today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. This can be found on page 856 of the Blue Bible and 1088 of the Red Bibles. Hear God's word. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he is who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abram, and to his offspring forever."
You'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 2. Beginning at verse 1. Before we read that together, let's go to God in prayer. Oh, Father, indeed, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, listen carefully. This is God's holy, inspired word. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. There is no rock like our God." Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne 7, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them He has set the world. He will guard the feet of His faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them He will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to His king and exalt the horn of His anointed. Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, and the boy was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli the priest. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for His word. Well, we have to remember what happened 2 weeks ago. In between my last sermon and Zach's preaching about singing praise to God, singing hymns of praise to God. And that is, 2 weeks ago, Hannah was a woman in utter hopelessness, in distress. And one of the takeaways from that passage that Hannah was teaching us by the power of the Spirit of God is that when you are in a situation like that, go to the Lord. Pray to the Lord. And Hannah modeled that. And she prayed in humility. But today, there is more on prayer that Hannah has to teach us as she goes before the Lord again, except this time it is not a prayer of intercession or supplication. It is not a prayer of calling out to God in need of something necessarily, though that's in there too, but it's primarily a prayer of thanksgiving and praise. It is a curious thing in this prayer. If we consider what has happened between Hannah's request that God would bless her and this prayer that she offers today, what happens in between is that Samuel, her son, is born. A miracle takes place. And there is hardly any mention of that. There is a veiled reference, I think you'll find, in verse 5. But at this point, Hannah has seen the hand of the Lord work a miracle, and what she wants to do is thank God for everything that is due to Him, not just this working out of this particular miracle. And if you've ever been in that place where you've prayed for something and it's come to pass, have you not been there when you realize at that point that God is due so much more praise than thanksgiving for that? Other things become clear as well. It seems like that's what's taking place with Hannah. I'd suggest that in this passage she is teaching us again something about prayer. Now it's interesting, scholars have this debate going back and forth. It's a friendly debate. It's not like a debate of this is true and everything else is untrue. It's this friendly debate of what is this song that Hannah sings. And I've kind of given it away already about what the debate is. Some scholars suspect that this is actually a hymn. That it was a hymn before Hannah uttered it. That it was familiar to her. That it was part of the redeemed of God's songs that they would sing to the Lord. And so that when Hannah prays this in response to the birth of her son, she takes from the communal treasure of praises to God and she puts those on her lips in joyful surrender. This really does tie in with what Zach was talking about last Sunday, because this is one of the points of singing praises to God. Not that we would just do that when we gather together on the Lord's Day, but that the songs that we sing would become part of who we are, so that during the week, in the meeting, in work, in school, when we're facing trouble, when we're facing joy, when we're experiencing joy, that the songs of the redeemed would come to our minds and that we would be able to sing those, whether quietly or out loud. and praise to God. It's actually one of the things we'll be working on as we move forward in time, that we'll try to narrow down what we sing so that the things that we sing we can actually learn, so that we can sing those all the time to the glory of the Lord, as Hannah seems here to demonstrate. And Mary, actually, in Luke, seems to be doing the same thing. Just out of memory, knows how to sing a song or pray a prayer of praise to the Lord. And so let's take a look at this. In verse 1, we have, "And Hannah prayed and said, my heart exalts in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord," or my strength, "my mouth derides my enemies," etc. One of the things that we learn here is that Hannah is praying with her whole heart, and with all of her strength, and indeed with her mouth. Now, all of those are important, but the third one may seem peculiar to us. In other words, we know that we should pray to God with all our heart and with all of our strength, whatever, you know, whatever we understand that to mean, but with our mouth. This is reminding us that silent prayer is not sufficient. It's acceptable, but it's not sufficient. Sometimes we need to verbalize our conversation with God. It's one of the reasons we sing, actually. Singing is singing a prayer to God oftentimes. We have to verbalize it. And Hannah is modeling this for us. But she does it with vigor. In response to the working of God, she prays with fervor and she prays out loud. This is the life of a Christian, to rejoice unapologetically in the nature and in the working of her God. To be unashamed, as Paul will say, "I am unashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes." I am not ashamed to praise the Lord with my mouth. She delights. The first thing she does is she delights in God's deliverance. She is thanking God for the deliverance that she has experienced. Now, immediately, she is thanking God for deliverance from what? Barrenness. Right? A major theme, as we talked about 2 weeks ago in the Old Testament. She is giving thanks to God that she is no longer barren. But there's a bigger theme in Hannah's life, and surely in the life of the redeemed, that we indeed maybe we can thank God for deliverance from multiple things. Some people can thank God for deliverance from a particular sin or from a disease or whatever, perhaps some from barrenness. But as believers in Jesus Christ, we have so much more to give thanks for, a deliverance that is more excellent than any of those things. But we have a deliverance from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of the Son, whom the Father loves. We have deliverance unto salvation. And so if Hannah can pray this prayer of thanksgiving, how much more should we be able to pray prayers of thanksgiving and praise? Now the question this morning for us is, do you? Do we? It's been my experience that many Christians, their prayer life consists on, "Daddy in heaven, give me this." Like Santa Claus in the sky. Give me, give me, give me, give me. This is not the theme of Hannah or Mary's prayer. It is one of ascribing to God the greatness that is due His name. Hannah does ask and petition God for things. But that's not the primary character of her prayer. In fact, in verse 2, she goes on and she starts to praise God for His attributes. That is, she starts to praise God for who He is. And she's not making an exhaustive list. She's just doing. And we can't. Have you ever tried to do that? Have you ever tried to praise God for who He is in His entirety? I've tried that. I'm sure I've failed every time I've done that. Because God is beyond what we can totally figure out. But she praises the Lord for two things. She praises Him for His holiness. Do you praise the Lord for His holiness? You know what we do when we sing the hymn, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." We're praising God for His holiness. This holiness is often misunderstood, and we think, well, that means His moral perfections. And so, you know, we'd say, are you holier than thou? You think you're really good. But the biblical term is much richer than that. It includes moral righteousness, but it includes a separateness. And Hannah is going to go on to pray to the Lord about this, that there is none beside the Lord. There is no one so great as our God. He is our rock, our fortress, our deliverer. There is no one that stands next to Him. He is in a category all by Himself. And He alone is worthy of such praise. She praises God for His omnipotence, that He's all-powerful, that He can do what He pleases, and that what He pleases to do is good. And so those are the two attributes that Hannah pulls out here. But she is, the important thing to remember is that she is praising God for who He is. She is praising God based on knowledge. And the only way to know God is, well, we'll get to this more next week, and we've already been to this, and we're going to keep coming back to this. The only way to know God is to read His Word. These are concepts that come right out of the rest of the Old Testament. Things that she had been taught. And then, not only does she pray with all of her might and with her mouth, not only does she pray to God declaring who He is, but then she prays for others. She prays for the saints. She prays for the body of Christ. She's calling out to God on behalf of others. You see how little of Hannah is in this prayer? It's remarkable. It's a thoughtful thing to note. She prays for the security, in particular, of the saints. And it's here we would do well to improve in our prayer life, in particular today, to be praying for the security of the saints, to pray for the boldness of the Church of Jesus Christ in America. I just spent a week with pastors from all over the country, and one of the resounding themes is persecution is happening. Not coming, it's happening. That we are being billed in our culture and in the media is haters. That the definition of an evangelical Christian in American culture today is those who hate everybody else. That's what the media is proposing to our culture, and our culture is buying it. And that might seem very depressing to think about, and it is on one level. But do you know that was the same charge given against the Roman Christians in the first century? It's not new, brothers and sisters. This is a reminder to us that, like Hannah, we should be praying for our security. Not just for my security, not just for your own security, but for the security of the Bride of Christ in a time where there are many arrayed against it. There is so much more to be said about this song or prayer of Hannah. But I want you to just think about a very simple question, and that is, how is your prayer life? Does it resemble in any way that of Hannah? I want you to think about that. I want you to evaluate that. I don't want you to feel guilty about the answer. I just want you to know where you're at. I find it most helpful to see where I'm at, even if where I'm at is not a good place. It is good when the Lord reveals where we fall short at, because he is merciful. Prayer life is critical to faith life. Prayer life is critical for congregational renewal and transformation. A congregation that does not gather together to pray is a congregation that will not find renewal. And a congregation filled with people who are not praying is a congregation filled with people who are not growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Matthew Henry is one of the most popular commentators of the Bible. Says this about prayer. He says, praise is our rent. He's an old Puritan. He has a way with words. Praise is our rent, our tribute. And then here it is. We are unjust if we do not pray. Have you ever thought about that? That's a stinging statement. We are unjust if we do not pray. What Henry is saying is that we owe this to God. And it's not simply an issue of owing. It's where life is actually found. In conversation with God. And we especially owe God our prayer of praise and thanksgiving. Don't wait till the national holiday to thank God. I found this very peculiar in a church that I served in the past that will remain nameless. There's a person that got really agitated about Thanksgiving. And he would always complain that there weren't enough Thanksgiving hymns on Thanksgiving Sunday. Now, mind you, there is no such thing as Thanksgiving Sunday. Sunday is the Lord's Day. It does not belong to America, even if it comes right after Thanksgiving or before Thanksgiving, which was a question I always had for him. Well, which one is it? The one before or the one after? But my biggest concern about that comment is, do you not see that every Lord's Day is a time when the redeemed of God get together and thank God for who He is? We sing hymns of thanksgiving all the time because it is fitting to always be singing hymns of thanksgiving. They may not be thanksgiving for the Thursday in November, but they're thanksgiving to God. Isn't that what the founders were about to begin with? I'm not saying it's wrong to celebrate Thanksgiving, and I don't believe that's true. But I think that we need to be reminded from Hannah's prayer that Thanksgiving is always the native language of the redeemed of God. And I think a more basic question is, how is your prayer life? Do you know God this way that would elicit from you prayers of praise and thanksgiving that were the vigor of your heart, that you were not ashamed to announce out loud? Have you been enraptured by the greatness of God to the point that you aren't concerned what others think, but you will worship God in the splendor of His holiness? Now, in some ways, Hannah is a model for us, but you know, Hannah didn't have the whole story. But you do. And even if you can't speak the whole story right now, you can pick it up and discover it in this book. The whole story of redemption handed to us, in part, that we would sing songs of praise and thanksgiving to God, that we would live lives of praise and thanksgiving to God. Hannah could only see in a shadow. But the promised Messiah, which all the Jewish people were waiting for, has come. He's been born. He lived. He died. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. And He rules and reigns, and His name is Jesus Christ. There is no reason, that those of us gathered today who know Jesus cannot pray like Hannah. Because we have been given even more than she's been given. We've been given a more excellent deliverance than she understood. And if that is the case, if you recognize yourself as a believer in Jesus, if you recognize that Jesus Christ has died for your sins, that forgiveness is real, as indeed it is, how can we not yearn for a relationship which produces prayers of praise and thanksgiving to Almighty God? Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.